You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm not a hater. Again, I'm going to congratulate that. Chauncey Billups. Something could be say for him, multiple champion, finals MVP, nicknamed Mr. Big Shot. I give him that. Michael Cooper, never made an all-star team, was probably all-defensive player. I like Michael Cooper. I really like Michael Cooper, but I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to insult him. But I don't see him as a Hall of Famer.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I'm Josue Pavone. He is Cedric Maxwell. Max, the Boston Celtics, finishing up the regular season on a high note, if you ask me. You got the Celtics rolling. Finished off a three-game homestand, back on the road to for Milwaukee, but then coming right back home to close out the regular season. And Monday got off to a good note because Kristaps Porzingis was just named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. And on the West Coast, it was Kyrie Irving named the Western Conference Player of the Week. Mm-hmm. And also, you got Jaylen Brown hitting a career milestone with 10,000 points. And the Celtics' win against the Trailblazer on Sunday. But first thing first, Max, I want to get into this possibility of the Boston Celtics tying the 08 Celtics with a 66-16 record. Now, they went out the rest of their games. That is certainly on the line. But my question to you, Max, before we get started, how close is this team compared to that one? Because I got this question on the radio on WEEI over the weekend, and I thought it was really interesting because there's different ways you can break it down. Obviously, you can't say, you know, how close they are into the playoffs, right? We got to wait and see how this thing unfolds. But just on paper or just of what you've seen so far, how do you think these guys measure up?
It's a good team. I mean, it's a good team, and obviously could be a great team. Difference is right now is that, you know, they're going to get more points. They're going to get more points because they shoot more threes. And they're always going to knock down more threes, even if they shoot a smaller percentage, because that's where the game has evolved to. You remember Kevin Garnett was a mid-range jump shooter. He wasn't a three-point threat. He wasn't stepping out like that. You had Ray, you had Paul, you had Posey, you had Eddie House. Those were your three-point shooters. But everybody else was in the paint. So the game is played completely different to measure those two teams against each other. It's unfair. People are going to do it, but it's unfair because the game is so different. The way it's played and the pace of the game. Joe Mazzulla talks about touches. I mean, during the Paul Pierce era, could you imagine somebody said touches? I mean, Kevin Garnett was one of the most unselfish guys around. He always was trying to pass it to Paul and Ray. He was.
Doc had to tell him to shoot.
Yeah, had to tell him to shoot. He didn't want the last shot. So, I mean, wow, it's crazy. And, you know, you bring something up. What the hell is going on in Milwaukee right now? I mean, losing the games they lost, losing to Washington, losing to Toronto. I mean, these are games they don't necessarily need, but they need a confidence builder going into the playoffs. I don't think anybody's afraid right now of Milwaukee, considering the way they're playing. And Doc Rivers doesn't seem to have that swagger he normally has when he has a really good team behind him.
Yeah, no, that's facts, Max. Especially after the one game over the past week, where he's talking about how the entire organization, essentially different departments that have to step up and all get on the same page going through the playoffs. It's just like, wait a minute, Doc, we're talking about basketball here. You know what I mean? That's your department. And I think it was kind of I don't want to say he was throwing people even under the bus, but it was just sort of saying like, this whole season since before the All-Star break, and you know, if it's a personnel thing, if it's just trying to find the rhythm or whatever the case may be, I mean, stick to basketball. I just thought it was really
here's the thing.
Off-brand for Doc to do that. I mean, I know he had his moments in L.A., but this wasn't it.
Yeah, he chose this. He chose this job. He was comfortably seated, in a booth where he could talk about the games. But when you decide you're going to get back into that line of fire, man, all bets are off on what's going to happen and how you're going to be playing. You're going to be judged on the game too. I mean, J.J. Redick started out, just really calling out Doc Rivers about his team. But Doc has done nothing really to change people's opinion because this team has played. They have not been great. And the Celtics have many times they've been great, but the Milwaukee Bucks have not been great, considering the fact that this is supposed to be a team that Dame Lillard came to, and all the bettors said, well, Milwaukee right now, odds on favorite to win. I wonder what those same people are betting right now, when you think about Milwaukee and how they've been playing.
Yeah, man, talk about an organization that just completely overlooked how advanced the rest of the Eastern Conference is, right? I mean, and what I mean by that is, like, everyone was gearing up during the offseason and making moves and putting their roster in shape, bringing in role guys, teams across the East that sort of up on the radar, and they've hung around for a reason because they have depth, whether it's, connectivity, whether it's just the overall – finding that rhythm, whatever it takes, like that's kudos to the front office for putting those rosters together. The Milwaukee Bucks, I feel like, have these lens where they're just thinking, let's get a team that's as similar to the championship team with a Dame Lillard and we'll be all right. And that wasn't it, man. Dame Lillard was going to answer all your questions. That just wasn't going to be the solution for every single problem you have.
Dame is going to answer some of your questions offensively when Giannis is not going. But other than that, defensively, they become a much softer team because nobody's ever going to say he's Drew Holiday defensively. Right. So I think you look at their team right now and collectively as a unit, there are a lot of pieces that are missing. And you hear a lot of unrest if it's not from, nipping stuff from Giannis, but stuff from Bobby Portis about, how this team isn't playing well and da-da-da-da. So it's just kind of strange at this time of the year when you should be going on the uptick. You should be flying high. This team right now doesn't see that Milwaukee teams be kind of descending. Like they're coming in for a landing before they even take off.
You think this superstar, Antetokounmpo, was thinking about role players and guys that he needs on defense when he was saying on podcast? See, absolutely not, man. And that's the problem. You give someone that much power in terms of roster moves and all that. Listen, you want to play with Dame, that's fine. But the front office has to say, okay, we're going to check all the other boxes because that one, okay, Giannis happy. He's got his running mate, the guy that he would prefer. He'll stick around, but we have to figure this thing out. They never figure the rest out. They're like, okay, Giannis, as long as Giannis is happy, as long as he doesn't want to leave, everything's going to be fine. Everything will work itself out. It wasn't, man. It's just been a mess ever since.
You never give the keys to the asylum to one of the inmates. You don't do that.
Inmates running the asylum.
And I think that when you look at basketball in its totality, the players are the inmates. The players are the guys who are there working day and night. Yeah, right. Do they need some input? Yes, they do. But sometimes their calls aren't the best calls. I mean, sometimes people in the front office are making better calls. Because it's your buddy, because it's your friend. What happened with the Westbrook thing when LeBron, everybody said, oh, my God, Westbrook is going right now to the Lakers. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. They couldn't wait to take a dump on that man. They couldn't wait. And then once he left, it's like, he was a problem, he was a problem. And then you look at this team, and there's still some gaping holes. So, you know, if you're Giannis right now, you have to take responsibility for some of the things that have happened because you were the one to force the issue. You made this team do something. Drew Holiday essentially said, hey, I was sitting in the house. I had just did a podcast, and I said something about Buck for life. And within 24 hours, I'm traded. I'm going someplace else. So your loyalty to your players, about, oh, my God. Oh, players aren't loyal to their teams. They're not loyal. Screw the teams. You better be thinking about yourself and your situation.
Yeah,
Ray Allen made one of the best moves around. I'm looking at him over your back shoulder. Ray Allen made one of the best moves around. We left the Celtics. Celtics were trying to trade him or diminish his role. Everybody said, well, Celtics wanted to offer him more money. They might have. But first of all, you had to look where his minutes were going to be diminished. I mean, you already have Avery Bradley starting, and then you went out and you got Jason Terry to come as a backup. So
yeah, people forget that Terry signing happened before Ray made the decision.
So Ray is thinking like, well, where and how am I going to be playing when the Celtics will tell you later on, like, we offer Ray more money. Well, initially, you know, Ray felt like he got slapped in the face. So, you know, Ray decided to make a move. That's a guy we need to get back on to. You know, he was really good. I think last time he was a little off kilter when he got into the whole Ime Udoka thing and how the Celtics could have kept that hush hush. No, you can't, Ray. You can't keep shit hush hush now. It's like going Max to somebody. Like,
yeah.
Like going to somebody's house and then you're going. Somebody got some on their shoes. It's like, did you walk through some dog poop or something when you came in? It's like, dude, you can't hide anything these days.
That's so the old school mentality, man.
That's the only time I thought Ray was off. But we have to talk to Ray because got to get him on by UConn. Is UConn ready to become a dynasty again? You know,
I just saw a picture with him and Rip and Okafor and all the OGs, all the UConn legends, they all took a picture together. So yeah, it's pretty cool, man. He was there for the game. This episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast is powered by PrizePicks, America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less in two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on PrizePicks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what makes PrizePicks the number one sports app. This week on PrizePicks, I'm selecting Derek White for more than 4.5 assists and Kristaps Porzingis for more than 8.5 rebounds. It's that easy. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit up to $100. That's CLNS for a first deposit up to $100. Download PrizePicks today and make sure you use the promo code CLNS.
Yeah, I could imagine, you know, guys there for the game. So, I mean, that's really cool stuff. But, that's a timeline that nobody wants to visit when they look at players being traded and moved around. It happens. Trust me, I was one of them. You get moved around, not necessarily because you want to go, but because people, you don't fit their scenario anymore, how things should be done. 1986 team that the Celtics won it with Kevin McHale starting. I had no problem with that coming off the bench. But there were some people in the organization felt like I was going to be disruptive. So they decided that, look, the best thing to do is move this dude. You got to realize Kevin McHale said one of the best things I've ever heard anybody say about me. He said, when he started, he said, I felt like, because we were really close before that, but he said when he started at the start, when I got hurt and it looked like I wasn't going to be coming back and he was going to be a starter, he said to me, I really felt funny around Cedric because, you know, here I was and he wasn't playing. And then later on, he said, man, he gave me the best compliment. He said, Cedric was very supportive. He He was in my corner. He was the first person there to tell me this, that, or the other. But that's what happens with real players. You have to understand that everybody's time is going to revolve. Even your even when Joel, your brother, was on top playing basketball against you all the time, eventually that shit was going to revolve and you were going to start beating Joel. And, you know, Joel, could Joel take it after that? Joel, can you take that smoke after your brother beats you, little brother beats you? Or is it just going to be, oh. You remember the day you beat Joel for the first time?
Oh, absolutely. He wanted to run it back immediately. Like, as if it was going to erase time. You know what I mean? As if, like, a rematch and him winning would eliminate that ever happened. And, like, all right, man, we can run it back, but, you know, I still beat you, right? <It's> like, now, guess what happened, Max?
I can see.
He beat me, exactly. And I said, hey, Joel, that was a great game, man. But, hey, remember when I beat you? Like, you can't change what just happened. Like,
well, I tell you what. I guarantee you got tortured for the next week or two. Whatever he can do at your ass, he must have just brutalized you for a week.
Oh, man. Or that, or Sean Freeman.
Yeah, but.
Younger brothers, we don't like that.
Yeah, but I think this team, if you look at them, you know, well, what the Celtics are doing right now, this has been remarkable. Here's the thing I think is so cool. Joe, that right now that you can find your coach of the Boston Celtics able to screw around with the game and try to experiment with it because you're not losing any ground. You know, the game the Celtics almost lost when he had the star to stay in, it was a 19-2 run. But he had those star to stay in and he finished the game. Joe Mazzulla was confident that these starters, that this is going to be valuable minutes for Pritchard and guys like that. Last night's game, same way.
Same correct against keep the everybody in the game.
Like, okay, let's run this thing. Let's do this. Let's do it again. And those guys were able to hold on and win. Here's the thing that's going to happen. How many players you think are going to Milwaukee are going to be playing against the Bucks tomorrow night?
Starters, maybe two or three.
Okay. And what does the NBA have to say about that?
I mean,
you mean what?
The way these guys have been on the injury report, one of them's got to play. One of the Jays got to play, and then they're good. No fines.
So why do both the Jays have to play?
because that's what the NBA implemented their new rule, right? What is it, primetime players or all-star players? I guess one of them has to play. But, I mean, if Mazzulla sits him, then I'm okay with that as well. But I'll tell you this much, though. It was encouraging to see Jaylen back out there on Sunday night against the Portland Trailblazers because not only did he come back for his injury, not only did he get the Celtics in scoring and just gave you that kind of like, all right, he's going to be – the left hand looks good because, you know, the injured left hand – that was a bit concerned, Max, but he definitely quelled those concerns, at least for now, with performance. And he also reached a career milestone, Max, 10,000 points. He became the 15th player in Celtics history to reach that milestone. And according to your Sean Grandy. And with that, Brown became the 61st player in NBA history to score 10,000 points at the age of 27. He's very,
you know,
cool.
Here's the thing. When I did it 25 years ago or 30 years ago, however long it was, I did it, scored my 10,000 point. I think I was like the 56th player in league history to do that. And it was this huge milestone that, you know, that people were just trying to get to. 10,000 points was huge. And I see Jaylen getting it to get to it. And there's no offense at all, none. I applaud him, but it's so much easier now to get to 10,000 than it was during the 80s because of the three-point shot. You know, you're going to get greater opportunities to score the basketball, so it makes it easier. I appreciate it. I'm not hating on him. I acknowledge his accomplishment, but it's not what it was to do that particular thing anymore when it comes to scoring 10,000 points.
Right. No, that's a good point, Max, especially when you see how many of these guys are just climbing up the all-time three-point shots or three-pointers made list on the Celtics. You know, it's just like, man, a lot of these legends or guys that came – I mean, obviously Ray's going to be there for a while, but other legends, you're going to start knocking them off because, you know, the way they're shooting, the volume of three-point shots nowadays, a Celtic who had, let's say, I don't know, a seven-year career, it's not even going to be close.
You know, the only one that's going to put it out there so far to me right now, God, and maybe somebody does it, but LeBron James is the only where he's at point-wise, I don't see anybody getting there for a long time.
Yeah,
unless they start implementing a 4-point play, because he's just stretching it out. The kid has played since he was 18 years old, and he's almost 40 now. You know,
Max, the one player that comes to my mind that I think
could, who is that? Has a shot. It's going to be good. Who?
Jason Tatum.
Luka.
Tatum. A couple of reasons. Max. My man has seen the playoffs his entire career. First of all, a lot of deep playoff
moves. But Jason Tatum,
he ain't a 3-point shot. He's a perennial 3-pointer.
Yeah, he is. But Jason Tatum did not, in his early career, he didn't get those kind of touches and those kind of minutes. When LeBron stepped on the court
the first couple of years, LeBron
was your primary scorer. Jason Tatum might have got it second. Third year when he started.
After Kyrie left.
LeBron has a head start on him. And how long can he play until he's 39?
Right.
I mean, LeBron's going up with, you know, I don't know, some number which is ungodly. I mean, I know people always,
if you keep waiting for his kid.
He's going, yeah, good luck with that one, LeBron. All right. What do you think about that? You good with that? LeBron's key?
I'm good with that for a couple of reasons.
He's putting himself in the draft right now. Is he going to be taken in the first round or the second round, in your opinion?
If he's in the second round, late second round, which is why he hasn't given up his eligibility for transfer. So I think that might be what ends up happening. He's going to transfer to college for another year and then enter the next draft. But the couple of reasons is, one, it's a cool story. I get it, you know, and I think LeBron has enough in the tank that it won't look, you know, ridiculous. And two, I think LeBron hasn't had that significant drop off yet. So
I don't know. Does it say more about him as a player, or does it say more about the NBA for him to dominate the way he has in these last 8 years?
You say the NBA doesn't want to see him go? Is that what you mean?
No. I think that what does it say about the NBA? The way he's still dominating now at his age, comparably to everybody wanted to go at the old man when he got to be old in this league. You know, that old dude, you know, that. But LeBron right now is still playing at a high, he's playing at an all-star level. Still an all-star. So I just think there's it's very, very interesting how these teams still are playing, what they're gonna do.
I mean, we'll see what happens with this stuff. Absolutely.
So I mean, I'm finding that this is going to be a fun year, looking out west, looking east, who does the Celtics fear, who's gonna be the first round opponent. Everybody said, oh, Atlanta. They beat you twice. They beat the Celtics twice. Okay. That was some BS, whatever. And then you say, Miami always has their number. But I don't think that nobody's afraid of Miami right now.
Yeah.
Heat culture or whatever they have, they're going to have a problem right now getting out of the play-in, I think.
Right.
Considering some of those teams are down there.
And they're not looking as scary as they were looking last year around this time of the year, where they were just rolling and you were like, okay, here we go. They got the momentum on their side. Jimmy Butler, all the rest is out the window. He was just in stride. But they don't have the guys right now. You know, they've been injured. You know, Terry Rozier got some momentum going. But I just think in terms of, like, what they look like defensively, you know, they're not quite the same. You know, Gabe Vincent and, you know, guys like Marion, I feel like is they're all right. You thought that he would take things to another level after what we saw last year.
You know?
So we'll see.
Those,
I hope they see Miami in the first round. Man. That'd be a great match.
Oh, you just want to go down to the South Beach, Josue. You just, you're like me. But you know,
if that's what the job calls for, Max, what are you going to do?
I have had enough of Miami. I think I have, really. I mean, as much as I go down there, I'm out by the pool, hanging out, and, you know, enjoy. I'm done with them. That's just not have to go back and see. Let's go.
It'll be 3 years in a row. Come on, man. Three times a charm.
I think I've had more than enough. I mean, I'm not one of these people again. But then again, you always be careful what you ask for, because I sure know if the Celtics fall in line and we go to Indianapolis, I'd be like, oh God, somebody just killed me.
That's the alternative, right? That's a great way to put it, Max. There you go. This episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast is powered by Factor Meals. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccini, and asparagus. No fuss. No mess meals. Factor Meals eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Tailored to your schedule, customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/Cedric50 and use the code Cedric50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Cedric50 at factormeals.com/Cedric50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's factormeals.com/Cedric50 and use the promo code Cedric50.
Or they say the teams that Celtics are looking right now, and gang, this is what it looks like. They say Miami, Atlanta, Philly, and Indiana. Those are the teams that people are saying could be possibly a Celtic first round opponent. So I don't have any fear for those teams, but socially, oh my God, please don't make me go to Indianapolis. Now, South Beach is enough. I can deal with, but Indianapolis.
Enough. South Beach is beautiful. Absolutely.
Indianapolis would be a killer.
All right, Max, finally, in with this, the Naismith. The Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame announced its class 14 finalists for the class of 2024, including guys like Chauncey Billups. You got Vinsanity on the in the inductee list that they made it, and also former Laker legend Michael Cooper made the list for the class of 2024. These guys will be inducted in Springfield, my old stomping grounds, where my alma mater is, Springfield College, where game of basketball was invented by the great James Naismith.
Congratulations.
Is that for all of them? There you go. Congrats to the Hall of Famers.
All of them. Here's a small can of Pepsi for all of you, okay? I'm not a hater. Again, I'm going to congratulate that. Chauncey Billups, something could be say for him. Multiple champion, finals MVP, nicknamed Mr. Big Shot. I give him that. Michael Cooper, never made an all-star team, was probably all defensive player. I like Michael Cooper. I really like Michael Cooper, but I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to insult him, but I don't see him as a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, okay, yeah.
There's no hate on him at all, no. No hate at all, but, you know, I just don't see him as a Hall of Famer. And somebody was saying, well, now it opens it up that much more to other guys to get in. I'll never see myself as a as a Hall of Famer. And maybe the only MVP that I remember that's out there right now might be Iguodala, who was the Finals MVP. That isn't in the Hall of Fame, and he could possibly get there because he's won multiple championships. Right. And all defensive and all this and that. So I don't know. It's kind of a interesting byline how this thing is going.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that, Max, to be honest with you. I mean, the fact that he never made an all-star team and, you know, a lot of these guys coming in, I feel like every year or every couple of years or so, there's sort of that debate as to, like, man, are they just going to let everyone in, you know, or at least obviously not everyone, but the way they're saying it is like, oh, it's not a whole lot of criteria to it nowadays. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's necessarily a popularity contest or what exactly, but yeah, that surprised me, you know, and it should open the door for guys like you, let's be honest here. Finals MVP, two rings as well, you know, a vital part or piece of those championship runs. And yeah, you look at other guys as well and you're thinking to yourself, man, most of these guys, they've been close to an all-star, you know what I mean? Or like, that part really does surprise me, that Cooper, because I think of another Hall of Famer, or maybe someone can put something in the comment section, or I don't know, but I can't even know that never made an all-star team and is now going to the Hall. So I was surprised too.
I get no hating on it, but again, right, this is our opinion. This is my opinion, Michael Cooper. If it gets to you, my opinion. And there's no hate on you. Congratulations on becoming a Hall of Famer, but I didn't see you being a Hall of Famer. And you know, maybe I'll have that discussion with you one day. Somebody bring this to the table, and you and I can go back and forth. But in the meanwhile, you know, what they can't do, they can't take it away from you. Now, once you're there, you're there. So, again, congratulations.
Well, while we're on the topic of the Basketball Hall of Fame, Max, a former Celtic, former point guard, and Rajon Rondo called it a career officially last week. And another person who's sort of on that bubble with some guys in terms of, like, is he a Hall of Famer? Is he not? I'm going to ask you. You think Rajon Rondo makes it eventually?
Why?
Two championships, won the all assists. He led the league in assists. What was it, a couple of years?
Rajon Rondo was a tremendous player for the Celtics. But also tell me, in the first championship the Celtics won, in the critical game, Rajon Rondo in that fourth quarter against the Lakers, he wasn't on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not hating on Rondo. Rondo is a friend. But, you know, there has to be a cutoff point. There has to be a cutoff point. Now, am I that cutoff point? But there's always going to be somebody that you can discuss that might possibly be there. But there has to be somebody. There has to be a point, like you get to a place,
right?
And they say we got 300 people. That's the capacity. The fire department standing out there, they count 300 people. You can't have 301. Right. That's it. Now, same thing when I think about the Hall of Fame. There's a criteria that I look for. Michael Cooper won multiple championships with the Lakers. Michael Cooper was never an all-star. He was a very good, he was a great defensive player. I don't know if Michael Cooper ever averaged more than 8 to 10 points a game. Mm. I don't think Michael Cooper has 10,000 points for his career. So if somebody wants to argue that point, please help me out. Yeah. But, you know, again, there has to be a point where everything is cut off.
Well, that's why I brought the question about if this is a popularity thing, because, I mean, let's face it. When Rajon was put in ideal situations or so, it looked great, whether it was here in Boston with the Big Three era or whether it was in L.A. when he teamed up with LeBron James. But in between, Max, the guy couldn't stay around in any
city. Well, how about New Orleans,
the Sacramento, the Chicago, you know what I mean? Like, so did that play a part?
How about Dallas?
The Dallas, yeah. Well, that's what I mean, Max. Like,
Dallas was a mess.
Yeah, no one would sign him to beyond a year because they had to wait and see if he was gonna, you know, what version of Rondo might appear, you know. So I think there's a lot to be said about that. I think he's an interesting case when you look at the other side of things, you know, in terms of, like, again, if it's a popularity thing, you know, was he a great teammate or whatever? I don't know, whatever people have in their mind when they're making these decisions, because I feel like everyone's trying to figure it out. Like, what's the grand
type? I mean, do you – all right, let's use another name since you're saying that. Let's use Antoine Walker's name, Hall of Famer. How many points? Antoine got a ton of points.
Yeah.
He won the championship. He was an all-star. He was all-star maybe five or six times. I mean, again, there has to be a certain level where you stop things. I mean, right. One of the things I looked at in Milwaukee, Vin Baker, who was a great player for the Milwaukee Bucks, doesn't have his number retired. Glenn Robinson, big dog, doesn't have his number retired. Milwaukee, Ray Allen, that's where he started. Number not retired. Is there a level? Where do you go?
Well, they might just give us a Giannis. Yo. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's a great point, man. They don't retire anybody. It's like, damn, man. They tried. What's going on?
I mean, yeah, but no, they do. They do have some numbers. Like,
no, I'd say in the last, like, 20 years or so.
My friend who does the radio, does television, John McLaughlin. John McLaughlin was a very good shooter for Milwaukee Bucks. Okay, John, you've never an all-star. But they can say the same thing about Cedric Maxwell. You're being with the Celtics. I was never an all-star. Never was going to be an all-star because you're playing constantly with guys who were all-stars.
Right.
So you had to be the and I never considered myself as a role player because I always considered myself as I was a bus driver. I wasn't a bus rider.
Mm.
And you look at situations you're in, you think about how guys perform and what they've done over their careers, and you understand. Look, how about this? Draymond Green is going to be a Hall of Famer. Yes? No?
I think so.
Yeah. Multiple defensive player of the year.
He was a bus driver for sure.
But people would say he was a bus rider. They wouldn't say he was a bus driver, because you were passing the ball to Clay. You were passing the ball to Steph. But is he a Hall of Famer? Yes, he's a Hall of Famer, under a different criteria of how the game is being played. He was a great defender. He was a cog in what they do offensively and making passes. Very good, a smart player. But the Hall of Fame is taking on a different look than the Hall of Fame I remember when I'm thinking about bringing players. Because I look at the Hall of Fame as the elite of the elite. That's the Hall of Fame to me. And I just don't see – I see guys who weren't the elite of the elite coming to Hall of Fame. Magic, Hall of Famer. James Worthy, Hall of Famer. Kareem, Hall of Famer. I look at those names, I go, yeah, absolutely. But Byron Scott also played with him. Hall of Famer? No. I mean, just the elite of the elite.
I just feel like everyone's got their own criteria, man. So we don't.
And that's the bad point about it. Everybody has their own criteria for what should be, when there has to be a certain criteria which has to be met. Right. You know, I don't hate on my man Dino Rodgers. Dino Rodgers in the Hall of Fame with the Boston Celtics, the international version.
Rodgers, that's what I'm saying. You got to remember that. Yeah.
Basketball. Should I just say right now, go back, get my birth certificate, say I'm from France or something? Would I be a Hall of Famer then? I mean,
he was playing over there. That's what they mean, Max. Thing, Max.
I understand.
As a broadcaster, you know, you got black news here.
I understand what they mean. But I'm not, again, it's a part of it now has become more of a popularity contest than it has to be with guys who you would go down the line and said, do you think this guy should be one? Hell, I didn't think for a while. I wasn't convinced that Dennis Rodman should have been one. Doc Rivers said, you're crazy. He said, Dennis Rodman needs to be a Hall of Famer because he was all defensive team. He was one of the greatest rebounders of all time.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it. And then I started thinking about the numbers and what he's put up. And I'm going, yeah. Dennis Rodman.
That's how I felt about Ben Wallace growing up.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure if Ben Wallace could score 10 points if he was in the gym by himself. But defensively, he was a hell of a player. He anchored what they did. He anchored what Absolutely. They did. Yeah. But if you're going to say that, is Rip Hamilton, is he a Hall of Famer? Mm. Because it becomes a popularity contest.
Yeah, it does.
Do you think Rip Hamilton's a Hall of Famer?
I don't know, Max. I think I'd have to look at his numbers, but if I, you know, gun to the head, have to answer, I'd probably say no. But again, I have to look at his numbers, you know? Right. So we'll see.
Nothing negative being said, but it's just, this is my opinion. This is Cedric. Yeah. If you want to come to Cedric Maxwell, this is my opinion.
Right. I mean, well, so, hey, we keep it 100 here, man. It's the part of the podcast.
Yeah, that's what we keeping it right now on the 100.
All the way.
I mean, you think about a guy like, Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas has scored a ton of points in this league. Was multiple All-Star.
But top three in scoring for years and years, yeah.
But was he a Hall of Famer? Was he a Hall of Famer? World Be Free almost led his league in scoring a couple of years. Was he a Hall of Famer? So I think the criteria for the Hall of Fame has really changed.
No, it has. It has. And these debates will continue on and on. But Max, you bring up a good point, man. I mean, you could be like, I think seeing this happen, seeing Coop go in, it's got to open a conversation for you, Max. You know? Come on. Two-time champion, finals MVP. And again, you still got the broadcaster route, but also as a player, because again, if you're putting Coop in it, we got a debate here. We got a legit debate here. But we'll see. We'll see what people say. Because that's what happens, right? They control the narrative. The fans out there, you know, OGs, the talking heads, that's nothing too. The retired players that might start saying what they think about all this. Not right away. They'll let it marinate for weeks or a couple of months, and then they'll say what they got to say. Because the induction is not until September. So we got all summer. Anyways, as we say, we'd be doing you guys a disservice if we didn't keep it 100. So that's what we do here. We had to say this right at the end. So I appreciate you guys, of course, as always, for listening, for watching, for subscribing to the Cedric Maxwell podcast. We got a really fun couple of interviews lined up here between now and the end of the regular season. I know the Boston Celtics are sort of in a scrimmage, and you won't see a whole lot of competitive basketball between now and the season. But over here, man, we got plenty of content for you guys. So
we're gonna switch it up a little bit these next couple of weeks since the Celtics are so far ahead. I met the great Emerson Walls, who played for the Dallas Cowboys, and a big basketball fan. But he's also going to talk about football, because we'd like to know what he thinks about Belichick not being hired, who the Cowboys should dynasty. Take. Who the Pats should take right now. Yeah, who the Pats might want to take with the third pick. So we can get some content there. And you know, well, wink, wink, we're going to have Grant Williams on. And there's been some lot of stuff being said by Grant Williams.
Oh, we got a lot to talk about, Max.
Mike Gorman was on talking about Grant. And I had a chance to talk to Grant down in Charlotte. Got his number and said, yo, man, I need you on my podcast. And Grant said, sure, Max, I'll come on. So, look forward to having him open the next couple of weeks.
We got two of North Carolina's finest balls coming on the show, man. Perfect. Stay tuned. That's a wrap. We'll see you guys next week. I'm Joseph Pavone. He is Cedric Maxwell. We'll see you guys.